I'm Roxane Gay, the co-host with Tressie McMillan-Cottom of Here to Slay from Luminary. We have an excerpt from this week's show, and we are excited to share it with you.
We wanted to talk with some Black artists about how they have been doing during the year of the plague. So we sat down with artist Jordan Castile to see how she has been creating amidst so much upheaval. If you want to hear more, you can listen to the whole thing by going to luminary.link/slay.
This is a real quick anecdote, but I am oftentimes mistaken for Samantha Irby, who is also fat, Black, and has tattoos, but we look nothing alike.
I was just about to say, have they seen nothing alike? One of you?
A woman has argued with Samantha in a store saying, "Are you sure you're not Roxane?"
Wow. Yeah,
it happens to her too. I read a book where someone confused me and her. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote me an email for Samantha. How do you write to Roxane at Roxane Gay and say, "Thank you for writing, we are never meeting in real life"? I'm just like, that shit is buck wild.
Yeah.
So I know that you were confused once for Amy Sherald, who did Michelle Obama's portrait.
I was trying to figure out where this is going.
I was too. I know
this is going to come back to something in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when I heard that you were confused for Amy Sherald, who is a completely different artist, in an announcement about your exhibit in the New York Times.
Yes.
I just thought, it's like we never get these moments of peace. We never get to enjoy. Like, that's a crowning moment because you have your first solo show right now at the New Museum, and it was temporarily closed for COVID, and then it went virtual, and now it's open again. But to have that moment marred by this subtle act of racism.
Yeah.
What was that like?
And who should we fight?
All the people.
Okay.
Just tell me what's good. Honestly, what's really good is knocking on the door of the New York Times is what was very necessary. So they had done a profile, spent all this time with me. They, you know, there's all this negotiation that happens when working with
the press,
where I'm trying to articulate the things that I want and need in the article or the way that I want things to be addressed. And they're like, "No, we're doing this other thing. We won't show you." You know, there's just like, how do you allow me to actually exist in this thing that's supposed to be about me? And so I had already gone through that whole negotiation.
And it's brutal.
It's brutal. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they had the little blurb in their like morning daily briefings or whatever, that email blast. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of non-subscribers get those email blasts. And I found out because my mother started blowing up my phone. And it was like maybe 7 a.m. Like, it was way too early for her to be blowing up my phone. But she was like, "You need to call me immediately. Like, I'm getting all these text calls and emails saying, did you paint Michelle Obama? And I know that's not right. Like, what is happening?" So I found it and I was devastated. But was I surprised? No. And I called Amy. Amy and I are friends, you know, like, we're in constant conversation with one another.
Of course you are. A small world of Black.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We all know each other. The Black writing community is the same. We may not love each other, but we all know each other.
Yes, we all know each other. So I called Amy. She was like, "Oh, no, no, no." Like, literally the gallery. Mm-hmm. I'm very grateful because I work with a gallery where they do get it. Like, all I had to do was send one text and was like, this is what's out there. And they went in, fighting, swinging, and it was fixed, or they made a correction the next day. But it was painful. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, it was a crowning moment. This thing that I was really anxious and excited about. I was going to have a full profile in the New York Times, that I had my first solo museum show in New York. And it's a Jordan Castile who painted the portrait of Michelle Obama.
To do that kind of work, I don't know if this like resonates with people. I wonder sometimes, and it really is beside the point. But to do that kind of work, your work is always you in a way that everybody's work isn't like them, right? Mm-hmm. You don't clock in and out when you're an artist. Your work is you.
Yep.
So like the misattribution is a problem, period, because you're the New York Times and you employ 9 bazillion fact checkers. Like, let's just start there. It just shouldn't happen. I've had fact checkers fact checked my mother, okay, when I tell a vignette about my mama. So I know they know how to fact check.
Yes, they do. They know how to do their job.
When they want to do their job, they do it.
Okay. Fact checked my mama. Thank you. But when it's your work, it is actually you.
And it's not just my work. It's the work of Amy. It's the work. It's another Black woman who also has been really attributed as only the painter of Michelle Obama, which is her own cross to bear. And we talk frequently about the way that we get boxed in. And the reality is we are complex human beings, creatives who are constantly exploring new issues in our practice.
Yeah.
And the things that we care about are often different than the ones that get publicized. So it's a way that people are most comfortable and they think that they know something, but they really don't.
You really touch on something that, and because Tressie and I deal with this too, where people think we're only about one thing. And I'm like, that is like literally less than 1% of my practice. And I even noticed that in, when I was reading various articles and things about you. They were great. I mean, I would be thrilled with a New York Times profile like that. But they only focus on one thing.
The biography.
Portrait. Yes.
I was going to say my biography, my being in Harlem, and that I paint people of color. Like, that's those it. Are the, that's the trifecta. Yeah. Definitely there's usually emphasis on my youthfulness or my age. There's like kind of a glorification of
there's
me making.
There's a little fetishes.
Having, okay, she's had this success and she's 32. Like, it's like, that's a thing that we can't wrap our head around. And it just diminishes, it makes my sense of self or my fullness less. And they don't, they think they're giving me an opportunity. Like, it's like, oh, we're giving you this, but really they're like taking something away at the same time. And not everyone can understand that.
There's a sense that you're supposed to be grateful for the attention.
Yes. Right. There's
not
a benevolence.
All attention is good.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a benevolence to the way racism starts to work at a certain level. Like, it's there at all levels. But I do think that the more accomplished you become in a field, certainly I think as you move along that class ladder, like, let's not even start there. It just becomes more and more benevolent. Like, I think about the recent story about Leon Talley, where, you know, he's been living in this apartment. There's this whole real estate thing. Some friends of his let him stay in the house. And now they want to kick him out because he's not the it. Well, I mean, really, that's the, like, this is the heart of
reason.
It. He no longer adds, you know, flavor to their,
Exactly.
That Black bodies are supposed to bring to everything and a little spice to their little dinner party or whatever it is. And that benevolence can be taken away at any moment.
Any moment.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the challenge of working in this place where my challenge at this moment is enjoying the joy, right? Like, knowing that I'm experiencing something that is worthy of celebration, but I'm always also in fear. I am acutely aware of, if I don't play this right, or if I don't stand up for the things that matter to me most, or if I don't correct them in the ways that I need them to correct, I could very easily have the rug ripped out from under me. Maybe like, okay, we got the Blackness we needed from you now. You were perfect. You communicated. You were articulate. You were everything we needed for a moment, but now we're here, so we don't need you anymore.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to just use me as your front runner for like a certain period. How do I actually ingrain myself in everything you do? Like, I'm going to be in your door and sitting at the table for as long as I can. I might glue myself there. Like, you're not going to get rid of me as fast as you
Absolutely.
And I think, like, how do I stay?
All Black creatives worry about this. I think Tressie and I, especially Tressie this year, but we're experiencing like these career highs. And the thing is, you know that the minute you step out of line, they're going to replace you with the next person.
Listen, so fast.
So how are you guys managing that?
I think just acknowledging the fear, because so many people act like we're supposed to be grateful. That's why Roxanne and I try to take every opportunity to give language to the complex dance of being Black and successful without, certainly without separating ourselves. And I'm very big on this, just personally, but without separating myself from the people who made me. Like, I get it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Both 100%. Of those things are true and they happen at the same time, but there is this weird thing happening with benevolent racism and success that I think certainly happens to women. So there is a lot of sexism, but when you add that lens of race, it's a whole other ball game.
It's a whole other ball game.
It really is. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I try to do is, like Tressie, I know where I came from. I know who made me. And I know that those people are going to be there no matter what.
100%.
And frankly, I don't make a lot of new friends because I just can't trust it. And every single time I have tried to make a new friend in the, other than my wife, in the past several years, they have wanted something. And I would just, I just prefer, like, just tell me what you want, because I'll probably give it to you. But you don't, you didn't need to do this dance.
No, I'm not interested in the dance.
No,
it's too
I don't have that kind of time.
Exactly. The time and the energy. I think that's the thing I'm also realizing so acutely this year, is how necessary it is to prioritize myself above all else. So my mental and physical well-being are always going to be a priority. And that's yes. in friendships and our most intimate spaces, also in our careers, saying, this is what I'm comfortable with and this is what mm-hmm, I'm not. I also mm-hmm. see you, so just ask me directly so we don't have to do this dip and mm-hmm. I can make a choice if I got the time or not.
Exactly. Well, that's we the thing. That's what they're trying to take from
just
you.
Just fucking tell me what you want.
Yeah, just tell me what you want.
Right. That's why it feels like such a burden, though, because they won't do that because they want to take away your right to choose.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. They want to turn their request into an obligation.
Exactly.
And to do that, they do the very thing that we're always criticizing heterosexual masculinity for. Which is they neg us, yes. right?
Yep.
You're actually asking me for a favor. Just exactly. ask the favor.
Yeah, just tell me what you want.
Exactly.
The negging happens all the time.
Yes.
This white woman editor asked me for a blurb for a black woman. And I said,
oh, I saw that girl.
I have had the book for one day because I had been out of the country for a while. And when I came back, the book was waiting for me. And I had not been home in months. Mm-hmm. And I said, I've had the book for one day because I've been gone. And she said, you know, this writer really deserves more support from the black community.
Stop.
And yes. Yeah. And I was uh-huh. just like, I don't know that your writer yes, would appreciate that. And she told me the writer approved.
What?
And I don't believe that for a second.
That email? No, I wouldn't approve that.
I don't believe it for a second.
I wouldn't believe that either.
And so I blurbed the book because I felt real guilty about it. But
well, and that's also a problem that then you
yes,
get brought
it
to
is.
A place. And then where our blackness or proximity to one another is made as another ploy. Of course we want to all mm-hmm. support one another. That's
Duh.
A non- that is like, that is ingrained in what we're trying yep. to do in our work already.
And the way, now think about it, the way that story now lives after the moment, that's the drain on mm. us emotionally and cognitively and creatively. That what should have been, when you usually do a blurb, once you turn it in, you never think about it again, right? Yep. The right. task is done. But when they add this dimension, mm-hmm. now the moment never ends. That blurb has become a story that becomes attached to you and you relive it yep. over and over again.
And
that's
over.
The way it really weighs on you.
Exactly. I learned pretty quickly that the first article became the source for the second article, which became
yes,
the source
yes.
for the third article.
Yes, right. That's right.
And there was and never that... room for me to evolve with it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like nobody was coming back to me to ask how my thinking has evolved or progressed from that
that's
first
right.
article.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I got the resources for, she said this 5 years ago. And I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, have you said things 5 years ago that you would change now?
Yeah, yes.
Can I also evolve?
Now,
let
I've
me
been
live.
In the game for a minute. And so if you are taking a 2009 interview, mm-hmm. I was a child. What are you
yeah.
talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't know my head from my ass. And so it's
exactly.
like, you
exactly.
can use it, but like, exactly. that's not who I am
yeah.
today. Even with bad yep. feminists, sometimes people are like, so you, and I'm like, yeah, guys, it was, I wrote that book. And even though it was published in 2014, I wrote it in 2010.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
you're talking about over 10
right,
years.
I've grown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have
yeah.
changed. I'm proud of the book. I will always stand by it, but
of course.
A lot of my, I've evolved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, and there's no room, I think, for black creators to evolve.
No.
How do you resist that temptation to keep you sort of doing the work you did when people first discovered you?
I've been trying to be strategic from the second I realized how the system of the art world worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like once I had my foot in the water, I was like, oh, y'all swimming this way? Like I'm gonna have to figure out, to not get pulled down your stream, I'm gonna have to make constant kind of gestures towards evolving my practice in ways that maybe you don't realize right away. Like I'm a slightly hoodwink you by allowing you in to think that you understand something, but also very clearly state from the beginning, you're going to say, I only paint black men. Cool. Well, I'm also going to bring to your attention that I'm a black woman making these paintings of black men. And I feel very present in this work. So to say it's only representative of black men, I think is negating my existence
right.
in it and the presence of black women in relation to black men all the time. So that, you know, those early conversations were ways of me getting
mm-hmm.
in. So if I look at my practice now compared to 5 years ago, the subway paintings, the paintings of women more explicitly, I also, the notion of gender and how the subjects were gendered in those nudes in a way that they didn't actually know. The genitalia is not present. So
mm-hmm,
like, how
mm-hmm.
are you going to determine how somebody identifies prematurely? I've always enjoyed putting questions in people's minds and kind of slowing them down enough to say, okay, I thought it was this one thing, but maybe it's something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the practice has been moving. I don't feel stuck anymore.
You can listen to our full interview with Jordan Castile and many other conversations we've been having on Here to Slay by going to luminary.link/slay. Not .com, guys. Luminary.link/slay.